Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So today I'd like to talk about the GDP framework, and we already have some stories. And my talk is based on the collaborations with these people. So the GDP framework is the five-dimensional framework model. So we are living in the five-dimensional space-time. And we have a four-dimensional membrane. And the assumption is that we are confined to this plane. And the important ingredient of this model is that we have induced gravity on the plane. So the bulk is just the 5D Minkowski space-time described by the usual Einstein gravity. But we have another gravity induced on the plane. So we can have a two Newtonian constant in 5D and in 4D. So we can define the ratio between the two Newtonian constants, which is for the crossover scale. Because the large scale is larger than crossover scale, basically gravity escapes into the bulk, and we get a 5D interaction. But on small scales, this induced gravity wins, and we get a four-dimensional physics. So this is the interesting way to get the four-dimensional gravity from the infinite sedimentaries. But another interesting point is that this solution admits a very interesting solution. It is known as a self-accelerating solution, because the Friedman equation is, in this model is given by this. And right-hand side is coming from the actions on the brain. So we just have a usual 4D Einstein-Hilbert Einstein theory. So this is usual Friedman equations. But left-hand side is coming from the 5D gravity. And this modifies the gravity at late times. So in early times, where Hubble is large, we just get the 4D Friedman equation. But at late times, there is a very interesting solution that even if without energy densities, we have access into the universe, where H approaches the constant given by this RC. So due to this, this model is quite interesting, and many astronomers are now very interested in this solution. And another interesting point in this model is that the behavior of gravity is very complicated. So we modify gravity on very large scales determined by this parameter, which appears in the action. And we get the 5D gravity here. And I said that we recover the 4D physics here, but it's not true. In fact, at the linearized level, we don't get the Einstein theory, and we get the scalar tensor gravity. And there appears another length scale, which depends on the spatial radius of the source. And this is called the Einstein scale. And the interesting point is that we recover Einstein gravity below this scale. And the point that we take RC is the cosmological horizon scale. So this scale is much bigger than the spatial radius. And what happens is that this scalar mode becomes nonlinear below this scale. So gravity becomes nonlinear at spatial radius, but this scalar mode becomes nonlinear at larger scales determined by this scale. And then this scalar mode is hidden by the nonlinear interactions, and we get Einstein gravity. And this is crucial to recover the solar system experiment. Otherwise, this model is ruled out because we have a scalar tensor gravity. And from phenomenological point of view, the interesting point is that we have many cosmological observations and local observations which can prove this complicated structure of the gravity. And in fact, in the cosmological aspect, we have two important quantities, which is the expansion history, which is determined by convolving distance of the universe, and the growth rate of the structure formations. And the idea is to combine these two observational quantities, we can prove this scalar tensor gravity sector. So this is the expansion history determined by the modified Friedman equation. So this basically is a convolving distance. And this is the redshift, and this is the behavior of convolving distance, and this is a lambda CDM, and this is a DGP model, where we assume omega matter today is 0.3. So we can clearly distinguish these two models, and already the DGP expansion history is already in tension with the data. But the point is that there are many dark energy models in GR. So even if we can distinguish this model from the lambda CDM model, there are many dark energy models. And in fact, we can understand the DGP expansion history as a very special dark energy model with this equation of state. So we can't distinguish dark energy model and the DGP model just from the expanding history. But if we look at the structure growth, we have a difference. So this is a growth rate, which is determined by the CDM over density divided by scale factor, which must be constant in the usual SCDM model. And the cosmic hour constant suppresses the growth of structure. We have a suppression. And this red line is the growth rate in the dark energy model, which has completed the same expansion history as the DGP. But the DGP growth rate is not given by this red line. And the DGP growth rate is, in fact, given by this blue line. So this difference is coming from the fact that in this region, we have a scalar tensor gravity. So this scalar mode mediates additional interactions of gravity, and this modifies the glass growth rate. So this is the hope from the observational point of view to distinguish the dark energy models in GR and this kind of modified gravity model. But we see that the growth rate is suppressed. And in fact, this is some indication of some programs in this model. So let's see the solutions for linear perturbations, which describe the growth rate. So we can solve the 5D perturbations to get the behavior of metric perturbations on the brain and the horizon. So this is the solution for metric perturbations and the horizon. And in GR, we have a special relation between this gravitational potential and the curvature potential, and phi must be equal to minus psi. But in this model, the solution is not phi equals minus psi. We have additional contributions, which is determined by beta, which is just a function of background quantity, and which is determined by upper scale and crossover scale. And due to these contributions, we have a difference between phi and minus psi. A point is that the growth rate is determined by gravitational potentials. So if this psi has additional suppression compared with Einstein's theory, because in Einstein gravity, we have a phi equals minus psi. So psi has additional suppression. This leads to the additional suppression of growth rate. So this is the origin of this suppression of growth rate compared with dark energy model. But this indicated, so this contribution comes from the additional scalar polarizations of graviton. And that the fact that we have additional suppression means that something is reversed. So we have a scalar interactions, and usually this mediates the attractive force. So we expect that the growth rate enhances. But now we have a suppression of growth rate, which means that something is reversed. And in fact, this is related to the problem of the ghost in this model. And in fact, we can describe the linearized perturbations by Brunswick theory. And the Brunswick parameter is given by beta. This is just a function of time. A point is that we have minus sign here. And this sign choice is related to the two branches of the solution as we discuss later. But in the set of fascinating universe, we have minus sign here. So for large H in the early universe, beta is negative. This means that the Brunswick parameter is negative. And exactly the conditions that the Brunswick scalar becomes a ghost is that this beta is negative. And in Dojita space time, where H is constant, this condition is given by Jal C is larger than 1/2. And the point is that if we introduce the positive energy on the brain, Jal C becomes larger and larger. So this corresponds to the early universe. But we have a Dojita solution, even without cosmic hour constant, this is given by HRC equals 1. So for the interesting parameters, we already have a ghost. So this is first pointed out by these people. So I'd like to understand what is the origin of this ghost. And the point that in Dojita spacetime, we can do the Karlskronian decompositions to solve the correlations, and we can identify the mass of graviton seen by observers. And in fact, this model is a very nice generalization of mass of gravity theory. In fact, there is no massless graviton in this theory. This is because the bulk is infinite, so their model is not normalizable. So we have a continuous of mass of graviton. And then the Gauss space time continuous mode starts from 9 quarter time delta square. And in the Minkowski space time, these continuous modes are responsible for the recovery of the body gravity. So the resonance of this massive graviton creates a nearly massless body gravity. But in the digital space time, there is a mass gap. So these massive modes are too heavy. So on super horizon scales, these massive modes decay. So they can't reproduce the four dimensional physics. So we should have some light mode in this mass gap. And we find that, in fact, there is one discrete mode. And the mass exactly lies between 0 and 2s squared. And in the early times, this mass becomes 0. So this is quite natural, because if HRC is large, this means that in early times, we expect that the 4D physics is recovered. And the mass of this discrete mode becomes smaller and smaller, and this mimics the massless graviton in early times. But if the universe approaches to the self-fluctuating universe, this mass increases and approaches to 2s squared. But this is quite an interesting point here. So it is known from the 80s that the massive graviton on the digital space-time is problematic because we have a ghost. So this is related to the, this morning's talk. So the exactly zero mode and nearly massless mode is completely different because we have additional polarizations. So if graviton is massive, we have 5 polarizations compared with 2 polarizations of massless graviton. And if mass is between 0 and 2h squared, it is known that the heresy zero mode becomes a ghost. So this is the origin of the ghost in this model if we consider the positive tension brackets. But interestingly, if we consider the negative tension, this spin 2 mass becomes larger than 2s squared. So we can illuminate the spin 2 ghost if we consider the negative tension bracket. But the point is that we can't illuminate the ghost from the theory because in this model, we have additional correlations, which is a spin zero correlation. And this correlation is related to the fluctuation of the brain. So this is called the brain fluctuation mode. And this mode always have 2s squared. And this mode always exists here. Our point is that this mode is normal for the positive tension brain. But this mode becomes a ghost if we consider the negative tension bracket. And exactly, if HRC is larger than 1/2, we find the spin zero ghost. So this condition agrees with the previous analysis, and we have a ghost in this region. But the interesting point is the self-fluctuating universe. This is a very special point, because the massive spin 2 graviton has a 2s squared mass. And there is the spin zero correlation with the same mass. And the reason why this mass is very interesting is that there is so-called enhanced symmetry in this mass gravity theory. So if we consider the very special mass, m squared equal to 2s squared, the Pauli field's massive gravity has a very special symmetry. But this is not a full gauge symmetry because this transformation is given by scalar function. So this just can illuminate the scalar mode, which is a heresy zero. So this is a very special point where there is no heresy zero polarizations of massive gravity. And this is good because if the ghost comes from heresy zero. So if there is no heresy zero mode at this point, probably the self-fluctuating universe would have no ghost. However, it is not true, unfortunately, because we have a spin zero correlation. So DDP model is not the same as the massive gravity theory. And this spin zero correlation is a problem because we know this becomes a ghost. And in fact, on the self-fluctuating universe, we have some degeneracy between spin 2 and spin 0 because both modes have the same mass. And the analysis is made in this paper, and we have to be very careful to study the structures of gravity at this point. A point that there occurs some kind of resonance because two modes have the same mass. And so this is the solution in the bulk. So M nu is basically spin 2 correlations, but it's now coupled to the brain fluctuation mode. So this occurs only at this very special point. And then we have to construct the Hamiltonian to see how whether we have a ghost or not. And we did the Hamiltonian analysis. And we find that in general, it is impossible to diagonalize the Hamiltonians for the spin 2 helicity 0 mode and the brain fluctuation mode. But we find that on small scales, in fact, we can do the diagonalizations, and we find our ghost from the mixing. So unfortunately, self-fluxing universe is a very interesting point where there is no spin 2 ghost if there is no spin 0. But in this theory, we have a spin 0. And it seems that we have a ghost. So the body is a bit strange because the usually spin 2 and spin 0 never mix. So it's the definition of spin. But in the digital space-time, there appears a very interesting thing. If the mass squared is 2h squared, in fact, we can mix spin 2 and spin 0. This is related to the previous symmetry. So we have this kind of symmetry in spin 2 sector, which means that we can construct a transverse stress tensor from a scalar. So this means that at this point, spin 2 correlation can be constructed from spin 0. So at this special point, spin 2 and spin 0 correlations can be mixed, and this is the original of the ghost. And in fact, it is not accident that we have a spin 0 correlation. So the point is that if there are no spin 0 correlations, we can remove the spin 2 ghost if the mass is given by this special point. But the point I want to make is that the spin 0 existence is not a coincidence. It is encoded in the structure of the DGP gravity. And this can be seen if we couple the theory to matter. So let us consider the coupling to matter. So we want to couple the graviton to TMU. A point that the massive graviton with this mass is somehow thick because the equation of motion means that we can't couple the trace of graviton to trace of energy momentum tensor. So this is the equation of motions for the trace part of massive graviton, and we have this factor here. So if mass is given by 2s squared, this means that the equation of motion enforces that the trace of energy momentum tensor vanishes. So in this sense, we can't couple the massive spin 2 correlations with this mass to the general energy momentum tensor. But this does not happen in the DGP. In fact, in the DGP, the brain bending mode couples to the trace of energy momentum tensor. So brain bending mode is the perturbation of the location of the brain. So if we put the matter, this bends the brain. So this creates some displacement of the brain. And this induces the metric perturbations on the brain. So this is the physical metric perturbations. And this metric perturbations couple to the TMU. And so then we can describe this brain displacement from this equation of motion, and we see that this brain bending mode couples to the trace of energy momentum tensor. The point is that there is no singularities at the self-accelerating point. So in the massive gravity, we have a singularity if mass becomes 2s squared. And then on the self-accelerating universe, we know that the mass approaches to 2s squared. But the total interaction has no singularity. So what happens is that there is a spin zero contribution, which exactly cancels this singularity. So let us calculate the amplitude, which measures the interaction between trace of energy momentum tensor on the brain. So in this metric is given by this. So this basically describes the propagators, scalar propagators of scalar interactions. And we see there is no singularities at the self-accelerating universe. But of course, we know that the scalar mode is coming from the helicity zero part of spin 2 and spin 0 correlations. And in fact, we can decompose these contributions into two parts. One is coming from spin 2 helicity zero mode, and the other is coming from the brain fluctuation mode. And we see that we have, in fact, singularities if mass squared becomes 2s squared. So this is a special point. But we know there is no singularity. So this means that the spin 0 has the same singularities, and this singularity exactly cancels the singularities occurs in the spin 2 sector. And this is indeed the origin of the reason why we can't remove the ghost. Because this means that the spin 0 interaction has completely exactly the opposite interactions of string two. So if so, from this we can see that the spin zero perturbation must exist. So if there are no spin zero perturbations, we have some inconsistencies on the self-participating universe. So the existence of spin zero perturbation is not an accident. And in fact, the spin zero contribution to amplitude is exactly opposite to the spin two perturbation. So once we eliminate the spin two ghost, this means that the spin zero ghost always appears. So this connection between spin two and spin zero makes it very difficult to remove the ghost. So we can see from this, once we remove the spin two ghost, there always appears a spin zero ghost. So there are many ways to remove the spin two ghost, but we can't remove the ghost from the theory because of this connection. So one interesting example is the two branch model. Because we know that the spin two ghost exists if mass square is smaller than 2s squared. So the simplest case to eliminate this ghost is to put second frame. Then there appears a zero mode. And if the distance between two branches are short enough, this mass becomes larger than 2s squared. So we can easily eliminate the spin two ghost. But what we find is that once we eliminate spin two ghost, there appears a spin zero ghost, which is the distance between two branches. So the so-called radium becomes a ghost. So due to these structures, it is possible to remove spin two ghost, but it's impossible to remove the ghost from this theory. So it's quite difficult to modify the model in a simple way to remove the ghost. But there are some remarks here, because so far I used just a linearized perturbation, and we find a ghost. But we should worry about nonlinear interactions in this model, because we know that the nonlinear interactions of scalar mode is quite non-trivial in this model. And in fact, this is the reason why we recover general relativity on small scales. So we should worry about the nonlinear interactions of this scalar. So in order to see the nonlinear interactions, we consider the second order effects of this prime bending mode. So we know this prime bending mode basically the origin of this non-trivial scalar interaction. So we want to include the nonlinear interactions of this scalar prime bending mode. So we make the coordinate transformation so that the brain y equals zero coordinate is along this brain. Then we have this cross term. So this cross term describes the bending of the brain. And then we can solve the 5D perturbations, but we keep the second order terms of this. So we keep the nonlinear interactions of this brain bending mode. And the point that we solve the bulk perturbations and impose the regularity condition in the bulk, so which completely determines the junction boundary conditions in the 5D problem. Then imposing the junction conditions, we can get the effective theories for these metric perturbations and the prime bending modes. And this is the basic equation that describes the metric perturbations on the brain and the prime bending mode. So this is the basic equation that describes the gravity for the quasi-static perturbations under the horizon. And this is a Poisson equation. So this is, in fact, the first two terms is exactly the Poisson equation in GR. But we have additional contributions from scalar degrees of freedom. So this is the origin of scalar tensor theory if we linearize the theory. In fact, the relation between phi and minus psi is modified due to this scalar field. This is quite common in the scalar tensor theory. And we have an equation that determines this scalar mode. So this is given by this. This is, again, Poisson-like equations. But there appears beta functions, which is the function of time, which appeared before. And in fact, if we neglect these nonlinear interactions, we just recover the linearized solution I have shown. And the point that the beta is negative. So this is the origin of the reparative force. I mean, this is the origin of the force. But now we should take into account these nonlinear interactions. And the point is that we have this factor RC squared. So this is a second order effect. So we naively think that these terms are suppressed. But due to this RC factor, so RC is a horizon scale. So it is huge. So compared with linear terms, these second order terms can be important on larger scales than we expected. So it is very difficult to solve these equations. So let's assume the circular symmetry, then we can solve it exactly. Then there appears the Bernstein radius, which characterize the scales where we should take into account the second order effects of Lemmani mode. And it is determined by RC squared times Schwarzschild radius. And RC squared comes from this coefficient of the second order effect. And interestingly, the beta, which is determining the background dynamics, enters in the Bernstein radius. So Bernstein radius depends on the expansion of the universe. And in the early universe, beta is very large because beta is a function of HRC. So if HRC is large, beta is huge. So this means that the Bernstein radius is very small. So in the early universe, we don't need to worry about the nonlinear interactions. But beta becomes order one. If we approach the self-accelerating universe, then we should worry about these nonlinear interactions. And then we get the solutions for metric perturbations. And of course, beyond this Bernstein radius, we recover just linearized parametrics. But point is that this solution smoothly transferred to the GR solutions beyond this Einstein. So we get nearly the Einstein gravity, but we have some small corrections. And the interesting point is that this correction depends on the signs of beta. And now beta is negative, so we get some minus contributions. But interestingly, there is another branch of solutions which gives plus sign here. In this case, we have an opposite sign here. So this is related to the domain one solution, that even locally, we can see the difference of large distance cosmological expansions. So the point I would like to make is that the linearized solutions are smoothly matched to GR. It's a good news. So we know how to generalize a linearized solution to take into account the nonlinear effect, and we know how to recover GR. But there is a subtlety in this non-perturbative calculations because we do the perturbations. So we take into account the second order effect of brain bending mode, but we haven't solved the full nonlinear solution. And there exists a very interesting full nonlinear Schwarzschild stack solution found by Gregory, Gavadas, and Iglesias. And they find that the structure of gravity is completely different from what we see. In fact, we get the 4D Einstein gravity below this Einstein radius, but we don't get the linearized solution here. So the non-perturbative solution could be very different from the linearized solutions. So in fact, so the non-perturbative effect is quite non-trivial. So the task we should do is to find the full non-perturbative solution which recovers this kind of linearized perturbation, but still we don't know what is a non-perturbative solution which gives rise to this. And in fact, I want to make a point that in fact there is a subtlety in this solution because they use a very special metric handle. And this corresponds to a very special boundary condition in the bulk. And in fact, there is no guarantee that this solution is regular in the bulk. So in fact, we should solve the full five-dimensional non-perturbative solutions. It's quite hard. So the non-perturbative effect is still unclear. But for me, it seems quite natural that there is some non-perturbative solution which recovers this kind of behavior, and we just get the 4D Schwarzschild solution. Then we can trust the linearized theory here, and we have a ghost. So once we know the non-perturbative effect does not spoil this linearized region, we have a problem. So I don't have a time. So then the next question is, what is the end state of the ghost? So if the self-accelerating universe is unstable, we expect it goes to something. And I think the naive expectation is that it goes to the other branches of the solution. In fact, in this model, there are two branches. In fact, it's a quite interesting picture. So the space time is just the four-dimensional hyperboloid in the 5D Minkowski space time. So this is a textbook example. And the self-accelerating universe, we take the outside of hyperboloid and identify the deeply impose a Z2 symmetry. But we can take the inside of hypergraph. This gives a different solution. And in fact, we get minus time here in the modified Riemann equation. And this solution is not interesting in the sense that we don't have accelerating universe, because if sigma equals zero, it is zero. So this gives just Minkowski space time. But this branch is safe in the sense that the parabola is finite, and we have zero mode. And interestingly, in beta, we have plus sign. So beta is positive, and we have no mode. So this means that there is two solutions, and one of which is unstable, and the other is stable. So we expect this kind of pictures. In fact, the Hubble parameters in the self-accelerating universe is always larger than the normal branch where there is no host. So it seems that there is false vacuum decay. So this self-accelerating branch decays into the normal branch and creates the bubbles of normal branch and decays to the normal branch. So the picture is interesting, but we should find the express solution to describe these bubble formations. Then we should find the kind of Coleman-Delisle-Yatar instanton that describes this vacuum bubble decay. And unfortunately, I don't have time to discuss. So we constructed such an instanton and try to find the solution in the 5D Euclidean Einstein equation. But unfortunately, in fact, there's no such a solution. So we can construct such a configuration, but we can't satisfy the 5D Einstein equations. And there are many subtle issues. So for example, if we put the domain wall tension, in fact, we can create such a bubble. But if we resolve the bubble wall and try to construct from a real scalar field, we find there is some inconsistency. We can't connect the self-accelerating universe to the conventional branch. So it seems that this idea is very interesting, but we can't get the express solution that describes this decay. So it is still a mystery why there is a ghost and what is the end state of the ghost. So this is my conclusion. So self-accelerating universe is phenomenologically very interesting, but contains a lot of theoretical challenges. But at least this is a first step to address the accelerating universe from modified gravity.
Thank you very much.
Oh, so, I mean, if there is such an instant, we can calculate the probability. And in fact, we need some cutoff to make the probability finite. In this sense, if we do not have a cutoff, it decays instantaneously. So,
but if you can some reasonable cutoff, what would be the time scale? Why the self-accelerating universe has survived
now? Well, I mean, it depends on the decay. So the point is that we can't construct such a solution. So in this sense, we don't have such an instanton yet.
Yeah, actually, this relates to the first question, because in this theory, actually, I have two questions.
But okay.
The first one. So in this theory, the cutoff is extremely low.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So would it be natural to simply investigate, I mean, what happens even perturbatively if I start producing this instability, let's say, producing some wiggles of the ghost, they should shut off very very soon because the cutoff is extremely low.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately, I don't think anybody estimated like what would be. I could expect that the lifetime, first of all, lifetime could be like enormous, but also, what's the end story? Because it's very strange. There is an instability and you don't know where it's going. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, but I think one point is that we need a Lorentz non-invariant cutoff to kill the ghost instability. And maybe we can assume that the strong coupling scale gives such a cutoff. Once we assume that, maybe we can estimate. And in fact, my collaborators, Izumi and Tanaka, tried to estimate the lifetime. But I think the result is still preliminary. But the hope is that the decay rate is quite slow. And even if we have a ghost, there is an instability. But maybe the lifetime is long enough compared with the age of the universe, then we don't care.
I had a second point. Can I just
sure.
Because my second question is sort of technical. Like, if we add Now, these perturbations, of course, are studied in this, let's call it the classical Lagrangian.
Yes.
Now, if we start adding powers of K-mu, like extrinsic curvature tensor, suppressed with the cutoff scale, right?
So, yeah.
So at least in this decoupling limit, it seems that you can invert the sign of the kinetic term. So has anybody studied like in Poole theory? That would be another way, another logical thing to see, like at this.
I think
Gregor was talking about.
Yeah, so one possibility is to add the extreme curvature, so maybe I can explain this.
Right.
So basically, the basic equations is the equations for extreme curvature, and this gives the solution for self-accelerating universe because this is a quadratic equation, and we have non-trivial solution with that source. And if we perturb this, we find the origin of the ghost is coming from this nonlinear term. But this could be stabilized if we have higher order terms. So if we have some high fundamental theory which gives the corrections to this equation, maybe we can flip the sign. So the question is, so whether we can find the self-accelerating universe till we have the term, then and then we can remove the ghost.
So let's try.